Hi everyone, welcome back to the Indian Music Charts podcast. This is a show where we break down the hits and analyze trends in the Indian music industry. This week, we're discussing an age-old topic that has remained relevant even today, the marketing strategies of singles versus albums. In an increasingly song-centric ecosystem, album releases seem to, however, be making a comeback. But is this a macro trend, or are albums the playground of a particular type of artist? We dive in, but first, and as always, a look at the key moments on the charts.
The highest new entry this week is at number 111. It's Zindagi Tere Naam from the film Yodha. It's by Vishal Mishra and Kaushal Kishore. It's been released by T-Series, which also has a number of the other songs that are making key movements this week. And number four, making a somewhat belated new peak, is Oh Mahi from Dunki. That's by Preetam, Arijit Singh and Irshad Kamil. The chart topper, no change there. For the 11th non-consecutive week, it's Pehle Bhi Main from Animal by Vishal Mishra and Raj Shekhar. But the song that inspired this week's discussion is one of the big climbers, moving up all the way from 124 to number 46. It's Daku by Badshah and Sharbi Yadav and Hitin. This is out on Universal Music. I don't know if you are connected to the Indian music industry in any way. There's no way you haven't heard about this album. It's come with a huge heap of hype. And it was launched rather uniquely with a trailer. And this is actually like a movie trailer voiced by the original Badshah, Shah Rukh Khan, who played the title role in the film of that name, which in fact inspired Badshah to take up his own moniker. The track list has been teased online for some time. It's another collab heavy one with features from everybody from Divine to Karan Aujla, MC Stan, Raftaar, Dino James, pretty much all the big hip hop acts, except I think for King, who Badshah has said they're going to do something apart from the album. So, big stuff there. And they've also had a launch event for the media in association with Spotify, which is the official partner for this album. They did this last with Animal, so we know how that turned out. It became one of the biggest albums now perhaps of all time on the platform, which has of course only been around for about 5 years. So it is basically, this album is not just an album release, it's more like an event, right? And I think that that's what I think today when you do an album.
And it's also literally an event.
Yeah, it was literally an event. And it's also, that's a launch event. But like, in terms of like, I guess, how does one put an event release, right? It's not just a, a
single. It's not just a drop in the sea of content. It's not that, yeah.
It's not something that, sometimes a single may not necessarily get that much attention. Or in terms of how much investment the label has made into it and the amount of hype that has been surrounded this album. And, this is in a way sort of unusual because especially in the Indian commercial pop industry, we've seen a real focus on singles, right? Many artists don't even put out albums because they just believe that singles are the way to go, given attention spans, given like the whole ecosystem and how it works. But we have seen albums making a comeback recently. Akhila, as part of somebody who works with, as people familiar with the podcast, but know you recently started working with TuneCore. What's your streaming / distributor point of view about the best practice for releases, firstly, before we get into the marketing strategy?
Yeah. And, I have to tell you, I've gotten a lot more perspective on this after starting the role at TuneCore because obviously I spent a significant part of my career in music streaming, and when you're in music streaming, you're very connected to the audience, right? So often you advise artists on how to release based on how listeners are consuming, right? And that's why it was one of the reasons why you really saw this rise of singles, okay? It was really something that most streaming services fed back to labels as insights that fans are finding singles and they're streaming it. They are not necessarily searching for albums, right? And this was the case for quite some time. And it was because of this fan experience or this fan way of discovering music that we saw this rise of singles, right? Also, we saw a lot of upcoming languages. And this is something we have to bear in mind when I'm talking about my time in streaming, right? So there was a lot of people literally getting acquainted with a whole new genre, a whole new language. So singles were a little easier to consume versus a whole album. Right.
And we're also talking about like the time when basically streaming was kind of novel in the Indian scenario, right? I mean, because we've really seen streaming take off in the last 5 to 7 years.
Mm.
And so, you know,
and it also coincides with the establishment of playlist as a way of consumption, which is very single oriented.
Yeah, which is very single oriented. And I think that's the way that people, like, it just how you consume music, right? Earlier you bought a CD or a cassette and therefore you bought an album.
Exactly.
Today, in the last 5 to 7 years, you've started consuming music on DSPs. And yeah, it's the playlist that has been your main method of consumption.
Yeah. And so that's why, you know, we really saw this rise of singles because of, you know, just the way people were consuming music. But being on the distro side, this makes you closer to the artist, mm-hmm. right? And of course, you work with the streaming service, but like the final relationship with the audience is still with the streaming service, not with the distributor, right? And this gives you a very different perspective because here, albums are the North Star. Because when you think about this from the artist point of view, lifetime earnings, right? Which is LTE. That is what really they care about, because essentially the money that they earn from this is what they are going to put back into other projects and continue to make more music, right? So you make more money if you have albums. So it's, I know it's kind of contradicting perspectives on what is the best practice, but I think the answer actually lies somewhere in the middle. Mm. Right?
And when you say though you make more money when you have more, when you have more albums, you're also talking about as an overall catalog, right?
Simply, yeah, it is about catalog.
It's about how much music you have out there. The more music you have, the higher the chances of...
Exactly, right? You know, because... Right, and so that's why it comes to what I was saying, right? The answer is somewhere in the middle, right? On one hand, if you want to grow as an artist, you want to find more fans, you want to be able to build your wealth as an artist, which you can then put back into your music, you need wide catalog, right? And that's why albums are recommended. But that said, even now, fans are still discovering song by song. So while you may be dropping singles, you should have an album plan, right? And you kind of stagger it out. So, you know, yeah, so I think that's where the middle ground kind of lies. And, you know, you have to understand that for any artist, you actually do need both. Albums as well as singles, because both of these serve very different purposes, right? On one hand, like from a growth point of view, singles are great, but from a fandom point of view, albums are great, right? And also from, like we spoke about, a revenue point of view, right?
Yeah.
But you said
I
something
wondered, you mm-hmm. know, though I've seen this a lot with Punjabi artists, and you know where they, and because you know you work quite closely with like regional music, you know, I noticed that they are so prolific. They'll take out a single a week, but then they'll also drop an album and an EP. So I've often wondered, like, what is that? What is the thinking behind that?
Oh, man. Like, you know, I've actually had, like, artists who release with TuneCore who've written in saying that I release a song every week, you know? Mm-hmm. And obviously, initially, it's a bit surprising because, again, when you come from the streaming side, there's a huge volume of releases. You don't even realize that you mm-hmm. have these artists and what is the music that they're releasing. But it's also not just upcoming artists. Like, you know, Russ, he did this post months back, which I saw. It's still on his feed, I think. And he literally put up, and he releases, like, independently. And, like, I don't want to plug TuneCore, but he does happen to release through mm-hmm. TuneCore. So he put a screenshot of the back end of his TuneCore dashboard showing how much money he earned. And he mm-hmm. kind of broke it down saying that the reason why I earn so much is because I keep all of my royalties mm-hmm. and I just release literally every week, or like I'm mm-hmm. continuously releasing content. That's how I built myself mm-hmm. and now I'm able to pick and choose how I sort of release my content. And honestly, it makes sense. I mean, look at our own podcast, right? Mm-hmm. Right? We saw growth not in the first 1 month. We didn't even see it in month two. I think it took us 3 months of just consistently doing it, putting it out there, kind of finally figuring out what was the right mix for us, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and also not just being Spotify exclusive.
Yeah, that was exactly right. Who knew? Also, who knew that people don't want to listen to music in a music podcast?
On a charts podcast. You don't want to hear the songs that, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, honestly, to me, that was such a valuable lesson that you can't make assumptions, right?
Yeah.
And the more you listen to feedback and you're willing to hone and, you know, grow your craft, you will reach more people. And I think somewhere it kind of comes down to that, because the more you release, the more opportunities you have for data points, right? But I want to go back to something you said at the top of this episode. You said album launches are like an event. And, you know, of course, I tried to make the pun of the week saying it's a literal event, but it obviously does not meet the standard of the pun requirements. But, you know, obviously back in the days, album launches were a proper thing, right? For every major album, there would be some kind of an event. But that kind of died down, because after the death of physical, the revenue you made on every sale was definitely not as high as an album, right? So it just economically didn't make a lot of sense. So the events themselves kind of died down. But now I think albums, obviously this one, while it had a physical event, not all albums have a physical event, but they themselves have become an event in the artist's life and in the lives of the fans, right?
Yeah.
And of course, there have been some great examples from recent times. And maybe can you talk more to it? Because like, you called it an event, right?
I think that, you know, we've come to a point where now, when it comes to some of the biggest artists in the world, the album announcement itself has become a thing, right? It has become something that has to be done uniquely. For instance, Taylor Swift announced her new album while during her acceptance speech at the Grammys, you know, and she didn't win the first award she won during the teleclass, Best Pop Album, because obviously she couldn't presume that she was going to win Best Album of the Year. But I mean, clearly she had some inkling that she would win something. So she decided that she would make an announcement during her album speech, and that became like, during her acceptance speech, and that became like the talking point. One of the big talking points of the ceremony. Then you had Beyonce, who decided to, you know, make an announcement at the Super Bowl, made via some commercials at the Super Bowl, right? I mean, so you had another, you know, sort of big, huge event that is maximum eyeballs, right? And recently, Ariana Grande, while it didn't have a connection to her album as such, she was a presenter at the Oscars. So, again, very much in the public eye, the week before her album drop. So you are essentially seeing that now the announcement itself has to be some kind of talking point, right? Everybody's going to start discussing it. So you automatically grab attention that way. You know, but essentially, like, albums are pretty much about gathering fan momentum, right? Because, like you said, who cares about albums? It's the fans, right? And you involve fans, and whether sometimes you don't even have to involve fans. You don't have to actively engage your fans to do some of these things, but they just do it because
they were actually looking out for this.
Yeah, and like examples like BTS or Taylor Swift or Drake. I mean, you know, when, for instance, Taylor Swift Midnight was released, she became the first artist to have the entire top 10 of the Billboard Hot 100. Now, that had never happened before. Drake, I think, came close. But again, that became something for her fans to celebrate, because it just streamed the album so much that she occupied the entire top 10, you know, something that had never happened before. And BTS, as we know, BTS ARMY will consciously stream to set chart streaming records and, you know, reach number one. Of course, they do that with singles also, but, you know, with albums, it becomes a more concerted effort, I guess. In India, I mean, I feel that, one of the ways that this is done is also to, have as many features as possible, or alternatively, maybe have some sort of concept. So an album is not just an album. There's an entire story around it, a narrative around it. And, you know, we've seen in the hip-hop world, for instance, a very recent example, you have the Kashmir album that had a whole bunch of features, which was always going to be a concept album with a number of guest artists. And this was like, it had been like teased for years, not even like, you know, a month or two, right? You were seeing him in the studio with all these different rappers and everybody getting excited about who's going to be on it and what it's going to be like. Then you had, somebody like Rashmeet Kaur also coming up with her what she called a hip hop album, which again had a whole bunch of features with rappers from across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the most recent example and the album that got us talking about this topic is the Bacha album, which has mm-hmm. a huge bunch of features, as we mentioned. But you know, even indie acts have gotten to this game. I mean, either it's got to be a concept or it's got to be a collab heavy thing. Some of the recent examples from last year are Arrows, which is a single song. I mean, it's composer Dave's project, which is entirely built around collaboration, you know. So he's kind of like a Mark Ronson, you know, and mm-hmm. sort of just getting different people into the studio with him. He writes, but he doesn't sing. So everything he does is like collaborative. Similarly, another composer producer, Zayn Kalkatawala, who called the Bully Brain Ridge, his album Seasons was entirely like that. And you had a couple of electronic musicians like Komorebi and Sand Dunes, who again have concept albums, which had a few features, but really they were really built around a concept. Komorebi had like a comic book that she had to accompany the album, which again was a really unique thing, you know, for her album, The Fall. And Sand Dunes is again collaborations and a concept. The album was called Ground Beneath Her Feet, you know, inspired by the novel, you know. So it's different ways that, you know, you an album is no longer just a collection of songs. There has to be something more to it.
Mm.
And and some of the other ways, like maybe indie artists are doing it. I mean, they're using the tools that are at their disposal, right? I mean, even if they cannot do a big launch event, they will have like live listening sessions on, say, on YouTube. And have these sort of premiere listening session parties have become a thing. So I think that there's, you know, that's the way that albums have turned into events of sorts, if not like actual physical events, but you know, different ways. But, you know, coming back to the idea of, say, a specific genre, do you feel that album releases are a better option for a certain type of artist?
Yeah, and, you know, I'll get into the stats side of it, right? Which is the statistically speaking, these genres tend to have more albums. That aside, obviously, you have to take this with a pinch of salt because there will always be exceptions to the norm. Okay, so for people who are listening, you may hear a few genres. This does not mean that other genres don't release albums or should not release albums. Let me start with that. But that said, if you look at all of the recent releases that became really, really big, they all tend to be from hip-hop or pop. And hip-hop has a legacy of albums. With pop, it's really more about the grandeur, or it has become more about the grandeur of it all, right? Collaboration albums, etc. But these two genres tend to kind of over-index, right? The other thing to also kind of note is, it's not typically a whole album drops, right? Even in the case of Badshah, you had the first track, Daku, drop first. Mm-hmm. Then you had the trailer, right? Then you had the track list reveal and you had the collaborators reveal. And now the album is dropping. And if any of the recent releases from other hip-hop artists are meant to be a crystal ball, we are likely to see music videos that are going to start coming out from the album in the coming few months. Again, one of the reasons why this happens is because even from a label perspective, they have a certain money allocated towards music videos, but they want to also see what songs get picked up by the audiences, and then they can make music videos around it, right? And this is a great way to really go about making sure that you're connecting the dots between fans and, you know, the artistry of the musician themselves. But like you mentioned, there are some indie examples of albums that have released, right? And one of the cases for indie artists to still release an album, even though it may not serve them the same way it serves on streaming for hip-hop or pop, is that it has a huge impact on live. Because you can package a tour, and that is much more likely to be picked up by a promoter, to be picked up by a live music venue, even picked up by your fans when it's an official album tour.
Yeah, even by festival bookers for references, because I remember when I did a story about, you know, the most booked acts, and I talked to some promoters and bookers. I mean, one of the things that they mentioned is they actively look for artists who have released something significant over the last year. Typically, that'll be an album or EP. So if they're promoting something big, you know, they have something to, you know, focus their set around.
Exactly, right? And that's also a USP that you can offer to festival attendees because obviously, like, you have limited set of touring artists. Most of their fans have heard their sets the way they are. So this is a new way to entice fans to be like, hey, I know you heard this artist a million times. I know you're a super fan, but they're going to play this whole album start to end for the first time, or for the first time you're going to listen to them. So that's a great conversion factor for me as a listener that okay, I'm gonna go watch this, right? Like for example, like Supersonic, right? I spoke to you about it before I went. Like I'd seen a lot of the artists already, like, and I told you I'm going for King, and obviously I've seen him a million times, but I had not seen New Life. So, you know, as a fan of an artist or even fan of a music festival, these kind of things really change your mind in the last minute when you're trying to decide, do I go for this event or not? You know, so it's a very big play, especially for indie artists. So, you know, timing your release maybe 4 or 5 months just before the festive season starts, it makes a lot of sense. So, albums definitely have found their upside, right? It's more data points on where to invest your music video monies into, have something to offer from a live perspective, be able to build an experience for your fans as well, right? Whether it's a listening session, it could be digital, it could be on ground. It just gives you more opportunities to deploy marketing tactics that you may not be able to do for a single because there's only so much you can do for a single, right? Here's a single, here's a music video, it got playlisted. What more, right?
And I know you mentioned, you know, the how physical has really gone down, but really the fact that if you look at internationally, the whole physical and vinyl revival has given a sort of new lease of life to albums themselves, right? Because we don't really have a physical market in India, but whether it's Taylor Swift or, you know, K-pop acts especially, they will release multiple variants of the same album, right? On CD, and they have this idea of where they'll put randomized like photo cards, so it'll be like of different band members or different, you know, photographs. So fans are encouraged then to sort of buy multiple copies of the same CD or vinyl, even though I'm probably not going to hear it, right? It just
Yeah,
becomes
it's
collectible. It's
collector's
more about the
items, right?
physical product that's inside it rather than all. Or like Taylor Swift, I think we talked about this before, where she where with Midnight, she had you know this thing where the four different covers of her vinyl, I think, they turn, if you put them together, they turn into a clock, you know, with the whole idea of like midnight. So, you know, sort of vinyl is really
Yeah.
keeping
It's a great way to entice people to buy
buy
more
more
shit.
and
It
more.
is
And
capitalism at its best.
I mean, I would say peak, but yeah, so I mean, it's kind of sad that we don't have that culture in India because it's sort of money left on the table in a sense.
It's a catch 22, man. Like, I feel that if you create products that are worth buying, people will buy them. And I'll give you an example, okay? For example, like the metal band Gutslit, right? Dude, every t-shirt of theirs, like, it's so innovative, the artwork. Like, Aaron does a great job with it. Like, and I actually stopped buying a lot of metal t-shirts because I'm like, I love this music, but I don't have places to wear this to. But, you know, they made this unicorn, which was like really brutal, right? And that white t-shirt unicorn print has not only been like worn by people who are fans of them, a lot of people who were just attracted to the design discovered the music because
And
of
you
that.
catch them and ask you them to say name three songs.
Yeah, no, I didn't do that. I am no gatekeeper. I am like, whatever you do is fine, just get into the music, right? They more recently put out, dude, it's a cat with a machete. It is so freaking cute, right? But it's also so brutal. So I'm like, they really innovated merchandise, right? And people want to buy it, right? Like Godless, again, metal band, right, from Hyderabad. Man, simple things like baseball hats. We don't make it in the country anymore, but they made it so people are buying it. They made shorts, right? Metalheads wear shorts all the freaking
That's
time,
very
right?
funny. Yeah, because I
So.
feel that where we have some examples of merch, the actual sort of there's a whole idea nobody's actually going to buy, you know, a CD or vinyl. But I have seen, I think, in the hip hop space, especially like, you know, I sort of heard about this rapper called Karun, who sort of who released just, I think, about 100, 150 CDs, I think, or I can't remember, CDs or vinyls, and probably CDs. And he said he actually managed to sell them. And for him, that was like a big surprise. I mean, 100 does not seem like a big number, but it's just that the money that you'll make on that 100 CDs is just so much more than you'll make on 100 streams.
Yeah, right? The unit economics on that is great. You know, and
but with a single, because it's just not value for money.
You can't. Yeah. And right. And like, so I would say it's a catch-22 situation. Like, the counterpoint is you create the supply, the demand will come. And I think that's where I kind of stand on this. But, you know, okay, we have spoken about the various advantages that there are, at least from a marketing point of view, with album releases. But are there downsides, right? Is it heavy investment? Like, from an upcoming artist point of view, which we know a lot of our listeners are, because I don't think Bacha is listening to this episode as much as I would
Maybe
him to.
But I really doubt he is.
Yeah. But, you know, most of our listeners are upcoming artists. Like, is it a safer bet if you're an up-and-comer to maybe just put out more singles?
I think it definitely is to an extent, because I mean, you know, just the amount of money that it would take to kind of, you know, produce a single song, you know, and so you just have to multiply that into, you know, however many tracks you have. So an album is definitely a bigger investment. And, you know, album is kind of like sometimes becomes about the first week. And, you know, and then the hype you generate after that, because whether you're an indie artist or whether you're a big name artist, you'll put all your energy into that, into the lead up to the release, right? And then that's the first week that you'll do everything, and that's the first week that most people will listen to your stuff. It's kind of harder to sustain that week on week, unless, again, like you're going on tour or something. But on the other hand, single success is far more unpredictable, right? Even though the marketing behind it may be more conventional, like, you know, you do the whole short format, buying ads and stuff like that, hoping to trend on reels, those kind of things. But it's kind of, and you never know what sticks, but it's, in a way, there's a tried and tested formula. I think the key difference between sort of, you know, a single versus an album is that with albums, you are trying to mobilize your fans primarily, first and foremost. And with singles, sometimes it becomes, especially if you're somebody who only, you know, releases a single, not every week, but, you know, just once in a while, you will obviously try and mobilize your fans, but you're also trying to go for a wider audience. So it is kind of mobilizing fans versus mobilizing the masses. And mobilizing the masses is always a trickier thing to achieve. And, you know, the artists say this, that they know for a fact that when they release an album and EP, only one or two tracks are really going to, people are going to latch on to those, and the others are going to get ignored. And it's really only going to super fans who know, say, it's the album tracks, as they say. You know, so they already know this, but so in a way, it almost becomes like a passion project. They do it because they want to. They want to put out a body of work. They want to say something, and they have that much music that they want to put out, right? I guess it must be exhausting also to sort of just repeatedly put out single after single, you know, and where
it kind of is, you know, and like, again, from an independent artist point of view, and again, these are a lot of things that I've learned on the job, that you have to submit this track 4 to 6 weeks in advance, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine planning this every single
week. I mean, clearly some Punjabi acts like have teams behind them and they do that for them and all of that. But it's really, I think it's also kind of like push versus pull. With singles, you're pushing a lot more. With album, it's like a bit of a pull where you are allowing fans to decide what the long running hits are, what, you know, the ones that they really care about. And, you know, you just put it out there and let you just sit back and just watch. And like we've discussed before, that's what people will perhaps invest in a music video in. You know, that's what will become the set closer, you know, the arrangement of your set list will
determine. Yeah.
All of that, like all of those factors. That will, I mean, even if you're going on tour, you may not necessarily play all this unless you're doing an album. And you are an artist of a certain level of popularity, you will perhaps only focus on the hits you already have and the newer tracks that people are liking. So, so many things that, you know, I have. But, like, in a way, an album is also, it does some of the work for you, you know, which is kind of, I suppose, you know, an advantage that they have over singles.
Yeah. No, I think the ultimate net of this conversation is, as an artist, as any artist, you need both singles and albums in your life. You just need to maybe give it a thought about what comes where and in what stage of your career. Yeah. And when can you afford each of them?
And that can be really literally any stage of your career, because I'll give you an example of Parikrama, you know, the classic rock band that's been around for more than 30 years. And they have only put out singles all their life. This year, they said that they're planning to put out, and this is an impossible number, planning to put out, I think, over 100 singles or something like that.
Listen, I trust them to do it when they say it. They've done a lot of improbable things.
Yeah. And then
they'll do it. If anyone can, they can.
Why now? And they're like, we just had the time, I suppose. Parapur was during the pandemic, where they actually had the chance to go and record some of these songs. But they were like, you know, we can just go and put out, like, say, they've got, for instance, a live album coming out. And this is interesting. This is a live recording of their Independence Rock concert, I think in 2022. And they're putting it out as a vinyl. So, again, really mobilizing super fans here. And, you know, using the album as a vehicle, which, so, like, exactly like you're saying, there is, I mean, at any point in your career, you can just choose to sort of switch between these two formats. They've existed since the record, I mean, they've existed pretty much since recording technology expanded to allow the creation of albums, you know, and so, you know, you just move between the two.
Second that, and I third that, and that is the episode for this week, and we will see you all very soon.